In the Loop with Chris, Zach, and Alex Lupica.
Hey everyone, welcome to In the Loop. This is your weekly reminder to like this podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at In the Loopica. That's with two O's instead of the U. And before we get going here, we want to tell you about Audible. Audible makes getting more books in your life easy. What's not to love about that? They have an absolutely unbeatable selection of audiobooks, all with fantastic performances. You can easily transform your long commute and ride with Audible. Right now, you can start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. You have to go to audible.com/lupica. Audible has an outstanding collection of exclusive originals, short stories, and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more, hand-picked and continuously refreshed. Be sure to check out audible.com/lupica to start your 30-day trial and get your first audiobook free. All right, here we go. Time for a podcast. Chris, Zach wants to throw out the entire rundown and talk college football today.
Just that's it?
Yeah, that's it. He just took his first glance at it, and he discovered that there were some other items on there, and he didn't like that.
Not true. All dude, I said was I feel like we should lead with college football. That's what the people want to hear about.
That's fine. We can lead with it. But, I mean, how are we not going to talk about what's going on in China and in Shanghai?
No. That's what we do. What people come here for. The casual, they'll chop off the talk.
And then we'll go
but
to college
then I
football.
Want to dive into CFB.
Wait, Chris, is it your line going around that it was inevitable that Trump and the balls would eventually cross paths?
Yes.
Is that your line?
Yeah, that's my line.
I think Dad recycled it to me, but he must have given you credit, or I wouldn't be right now.
God, he never...
No, Dad retweeted that.
Yeah, he retweeted it, and it was from me.
Oh, he retweeted our account.
Yeah, he retweeted it.
Gives
you
a little juice.
That's big from the old man.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I also tweeted about how he was going to want most outstanding player. Like, if UCLA wins the title somehow, Trump's going to want some sort of accolade.
All right, dude, we gave you your glory. No, just give
wait, so you want to obviously chop up this ball China Trump situation. Trump wanted the thank you. He got the thank you. He deserved the thank you.
Wait, did he get the thank you?
Yeah,
I didn't see this.
They all thanked him. All three players.
Thank yous.
All three players thanked him in their press conferences.
Okay. I was wondering how he wanted the thank you. I assume a press conference makes a lot of sense because they can't obviously just call the switchboard and ask to speak with him or text him.
No. You see that tweet? Imagine if it were you and Trump tweeted like, I wonder if Chris Lupica is going to thank me. And you want to thank him, you just don't know how to get through to him.
Maybe at real Donald Trump, TY.
Tweet him?
Yeah. It's got to be easier to get in touch with a Don than former presidents.
Like, I think it is. Like, I think that's a fact.
Reagan.
Couple miscellaneous items I want to hit off the top here, just while I have you two.
God.
Chris, number one is Gruden in Tennessee and the firestorm of rumors surrounding that situation.
Collision course.
So, Zach, you have... There's something about the Vegas line that makes you think...
That's Kloop.
Kloop, this is you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So...
Explain. Okay.
So, 3 years ago when Jim Harbaugh was... When it was rumored that the Niners, that he was going to leave the Niners and potentially go to Michigan, there was a tremendous drop in the odds that he would end up as the coach of Michigan, just randomly, like probably about a month before it actually happened. And these are the kind of things that... don't happen just randomly. Like, this means that somebody knows something, right? If the odds are going from like 25-1 down to 2 or 3-1, it could be something where if you're in the Gruden family, if you knew that, you could tell people, they could make some money off of it, right? So the same thing has happened here with Gruden. I think it was about 20-1. It's down to about 1.5-1. It's happening. It's happening 100%. You heard it here first. It's going down.
Not happening.
What do you make of it? As a career move for Gruden.
Well, it's
Gruden. Do you get it?
Yes, I think he... I'm not exactly sure what his exact roots are with Tennessee, but he has a connection there. I think he started his coaching career there. I love it for him. I mean, ultimately, as good and comfortable as the Monday Night Football job is, if you're a football coach, you want to coach football. And I wouldn't. And he's not that old.
And he would have the palate to like take what could be... a big-time college football school again back to, you know, great heights, which Harbaugh has done. And I don't
not
think
happening.
There could be anything cooler for a coach.
Not
right?
happening.
To take a college football, an underperforming college football program to top five in the country, like, there's nothing cooler than that, right?
Absolutely, especially when you have a connection to the program. And it's not like if John Gruden goes to Tennessee and it doesn't work out, that he couldn't get another broadcasting job.
How no, many I years think he'd land on his feet.
How many years have we been doing this for?
The podcast?
With Gruden. Every year.
Yeah.
Every okay. single year.
Dude, there is a lot of smoke here, Zach. There's
you're telling me I got to take Gruden or the field, I'm taking the
there's
field.
There's a lot. Well, that's pretty much what it is right now.
Yeah, and that's what I'm taking.
And there's a lot of smoke here. He's bringing up Rocky Top out of nowhere. He did a radio hit today. There was rumors that he was...
He's on the radio.
There was rumors that he was in Knoxville when they fired Butch Jones. When they asked the AD, when they asked the AD after they fired Butch Jones, like, what about Gruden? He had a big shit-eating grin on his face right after. This thing is done.
Isn't this the best when a big-time player coach is being courted and then all the little morsels of information that trickle out, like, hey, I heard Gruden was having an omelet at a diner in Knoxville on Wednesday morning.
Yeah, that's Rocky Top. Saying.
Free agency in baseball. I heard Eric Hosmer's having tea in Cleveland yesterday.
Cup of tea.
You never know.
Could turn into something. While we're on it, MVP. Who is it in each league?
You're asking me now. It's being released tonight.
Oh,
our podcast gets released tomorrow.
So I put you in a tough spot.
It's going to be Altuve and Stanton.
Man, I hope you're right. Chris, Zach tells me that Derek Jeter claims he has not yet spoken to Giancarlo Stanton.
It's not like he claimed it, dude. Like, people were asking him as if, why haven't you talked to him? And he went out of his way to say they haven't spoken yet. If there's a reason for us to talk, we will.
Isn't the reason for them to talk that
he's paying him $300 million?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would seem like a good
reason.
It's
a little strange.
He's not paying the $300 million. It is odd that they haven't.
Okay, but still, like, somebody, I think Joel Sherman asked if you're Derek Jeter on the Yankees and you're 6 years into your deal and there's a new president, he's not talking to you. It's a little strange.
So he's 100% gone.
He has a no-trade clause, so I don't know.
Not necessarily, but everyone thinks they're getting him.
Yeah, so the rumors
are
that he's on the block, but people are saying that he's paid like X amount of dollars for the next 12 years.
Yeah.
And people are saying that that's pretty much what he would get if he signed as a free agent right now. So the Marlins can't expect people to take the whole contract and get prospects back. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So they're either going to need to take some of the money to get players back. So there's a lot that could happen, and he could turn down any deal he wants. So everything's up in the air. A
lot of intrigue in Miami.
But it'd be exciting if he went somewhere else. I mean, he's one of the biggest three stars in the game.
Red Sox?
He said that reports were that he said that he would decline a deal to Boston.
All right. Kloop, I feel like you're just in a matrix of college football playoff scenarios right now. How much of your
finally,
day...
I've been here for weeks.
Okay, you're awake... You're not awake. You have 24 hours in the day, right?
That's
you're awake
not
for,
in
say,
dispute.
16 of them. How many of them are of those hours are you spending thinking about the college football playoff?
Wait, full hours or, like, if you're going every hour is a different hour, how many of those does he hit?
Cumulative. You're spending a few, aren't you?
At least three.
Well, sometimes I start to think about how this thing can play out, and I get very upset. That happened today, for sure. And
you got upset today thinking about the playoff?
Very upset. It's actually the last couple hours, some Twitter activity. And in addition, I was really surprised that the committee... I'm just surprised at the order of the way that the teams came out. We'll get into this more later, but it sets such
Are we getting into this or not?
No. Let's tease it out.
I'll tease it out. And
I mean, people are now salivating.
Okay.
Let
me tease it by saying this. I'm very surprised that you can still somehow get a pass if your quarterback is out, that your loss is forgiven.
This chafes me about you because I've been saying this for weeks.
In such a short season.
And you've been arguing the other side.
No, okay. Well, we'll talk about it then because that's completely inaccurate.
Wow.
I've not been arguing the other side.
This kind of tension is what gets people stick around.
I know.
That's very good by you guys. Before we get to main headlines, today are going to be NBA, all the stuff out of the NBA, and then college football, all the scenarios. But Zach, we asked you last week if you still believed in the royal flush scenario for the Packers making the playoffs.
The reverse jinx paid off, boys.
Today, as we sit here, we're watching Aaron Rodgers on the screen.
Taking snaps.
Jogging around, skipping around, taking a couple snaps. How do you feel?
Yeah, Hundley gets us there. Rodgers brings us home. See you in February.
So you're fully on board.
Yeah, I beat the Ravens this week. 6-4. Then you got an easy schedule coming up. Vikings have Vikings have home Rams, at Lions, at Falcons, at Panthers coming up.
You're okay. Not buying the Vikings.
No, I mean, they're 7-2, so you got to buy them. But that those four games, you're thinking 2-2 at absolute best, 0-4 as possible.
Yeah, that's a gauntlet. Chris, the kid looked pretty good on Sunday.
But you also went from 0% chance last week. Like, it's all over. So
it's
what
the
you're
reverse jinx.
So what you're telling me is that this whole Royal Flush scenario hinged on a Bears game in
November? Yeah. And you know in the back of his head, he's thinking, I'm going to say 0%, but I'm kind of thinking we're going to beat the Bears on Sunday, and if we do, then I'm going to come in hot.
I mean, I didn't think Brett Helmy was going to look like Aaron Rodgers.
Made a couple throws. I was saying, Chris, these guys who are backups for great quarterbacks, if they just go out there and do their best impersonation of what they see in practice every week, you can get somewhere in the approximation of acceptable.
You gotta have talent.
You gotta have a little talent. But
as
you can
I was saying last
week, doing his Rodgers impersonation.
But what I said last week was that I thought the coaches hadn't given the kid a chance to win a game yet.
They let
and
him throw him around.
Did,
a
and he did.
He looked like a different player at the end of the game.
Yeah. For all you out there, you want to take a nibble on 80-1, I don't advise against it.
Is Hundley the next guy to make like $60 million in three games?
Hopefully we win enough games to bring Rodgers back and then we can trade him.
Kloop. Before we get to headlines here, you're upset about our ancestral homeland, the Italians, coming up short of the World Cup. This was a big deal in the world of soccer.
Well, I'm not really upset about it. I realize we never also talked about the U.S.
Yeah.
Very just disappointing.
I was going to say, can we talk about how we're upset about that?
Yeah, we never. I think maybe we were off that week, vacation and whatnot, but we missed. We didn't get a chance to talk U.S. And now I guess it's being discussed that all these teams from big countries who are missing the World Cup may play in some sort of televised event concurrently with the World Cup. Don't really know how to feel about
that. I'm out.
I really like that. That sounds like the kind of thing you would love, some rogue event with, like, you know, a consortium
of
teams.
I think Ghana's in there. The Netherlands didn't make it. Italy, the United States. It's kind of surprising, actually, when you go through how many good teams are out.
Argentina almost missed
out. But you know what's
out.
Funny is that in order for us to miss it, we have to lose to Trinidad and Tobago. No. All we have to do is push against Trinidad. Draw against Trinidad and Tobago. Italy has to beat, like, Sweden.
Trinidad and Tobago wanted revenge from that first game of the Junior Goodwill Games, Chris. D2.
They ran up the score. Everyone remembers
when we
that.
Just absolutely ran it up on them.
But Pulisic, Wonderboy, wrote this nice Players Tribune about, like, how devastating missing it was.
About, I should
like,
hope.
How we'll see you there next year. Ended it. So let's plan on it then. 2022. Get your basements.
Yeah,
ready
see
and
you there. See you there in 2022.
All right,
like,
Chris. Not,
shut up.
Not everybody's as old as you.
Yeah, shut up, Pusilic. Nobody cares. Like, see you in 6 years. Like, how about you get a win against against Trinidad and Tobago at home?
What do you think? Are you on the Pulisic train?
Yeah, he's amazing, dude. He's playing for Dortmund.
All right.
Yeah, he's an amazing loser.
Zach and I just watched a little tennis, too, Chris. Out in London, ATP finals,
Neato,
right?
Yeah. Top eight players
Zverev
in the world.
Zverev and Sock. Sock got the better of him 3 sets. Just a nice little match.
Don't care.
All right, per Zach's request, we're going to start with college football, move on to the NBA, loop of locks at the end. Let's get started. I asked you guys to save it for the show. Here we are. I don't want anyone to get mad at one another.
Keep my thoughts to myself.
This podcast is supposed to be fun. I really want to have a good conversation about college football because it's very interesting right now. Chris, the entire thing kind of got blown up last weekend, didn't it?
Which we knew was coming.
I wouldn't say it got blown up. I still think the chalk, if you look at...
Well, let's recap. Notre Dame got ousted.
Okay.
Georgia pretty much got ousted.
No, Georgia controls their destiny.
You think?
Yeah, Georgia's in the SEC title game. All they have to do is beat Kentucky, and then if they beat Alabama, they're in. Or Auburn. So Georgia's still very much alive. All they have to do is win their next two games.
So Georgia controls their own destiny. Auburn now in the mix, obviously, Chris.
Also controls their own destiny.
If Auburn...
Right.
So obviously all eyes are on this Auburn-Bama game. If Auburn wins that game...
Which I think they're going to.
And Chris...
Do you agree with me there, Chris?
Do you think so too?
It's a coin flip game. It's at Auburn, where they've looked awesome. They are coming together. Stidham's starting to play better. The defense has been great all year, and Tekarion Johnson is one of the best running backs in the country. That being said, you give Bama 2 weeks to get healthy.
But looking at what they just did against Georgia.
Yeah, and
we thought Georgia was better. I mean, not necessarily, but they had a better resume going into that game than Bama will.
Hurts, to me, is still the difference in that game. Hurts can make all the plays. I'm not sure. I just don't know. I mean, that wasn't a close game. I'm not sure what to expect out of Stidham in a close game in the Iron Bowl. But it's absolutely a 50-50 game.
Okay, so what happens to Bama in the event of a loss? Obviously, it depends on so much else, but chalk and an Auburn win, is Bama on the outside looking
in?
If Wisconsin wins out, Chris, Bama is not in the college football playoff.
Bama needs help if they lose to Auburn.
They need Wisconsin to lose. That's it.
Yeah.
Because an ACC team, you figure Miami-Clemson is going to be in, right, at this point?
Without question.
Okay. And then you figure the winner of Auburn-Georgia is in if Bama loses to Auburn. And then, if Wisconsin wins, they're out. Oklahoma. I guess they would need Oklahoma or Wisconsin to lose.
Okay. I want to narrow the conversation.
Please.
Here. If everything goes the way that it is expected to go, okay, and that means that the chalk rolls through, I think Oklahoma's a tremendous favorite to come out of the Big 12. Clemson or Miami will play, and one of them will certainly come out. You'd still have to call Alabama the favorite to come out of their conference, the SEC. The question then becomes, who is the fourth team in the tournament?
Right.
If Wisconsin loses.
If Wisconsin loses.
Because if Wisconsin wins, they're the fourth team.
Correct. So the question then becomes, who's in, right? And what do we do with a two-loss team? What I've been getting very unhappy about that I referred to earlier is the idea that Ohio State still has an avenue to get into the college football playoff.
You don't think they do?
I don't think they should.
If they beat Wisconsin by 30?
I don't care if they beat them by 100.
Dude, if they won by 100.
I don't care. They are out. I'd tell you for a million different reasons.
Okay, so you think they should be out, but let me ask you this. If Ohio State rolls through and wins the Big Ten, do you think they'll be left out?
I'm not sure, and that's what I'm worried about. Because if they roll through and win the Big Ten, then the loser of the Miami, if Miami loses to Clemson, Miami needs to get in over them. Any one-loss team needs to be in over them. They disqualified themselves,
But what if Miami beats Clemson?
If Miami beats Clemson, I'd still put Clemson in over Ohio State.
With two losses?
Yes.
A loss to Syracuse and without a big, without a power title?
They didn't lose first of all, last year they set a precedent that conference titles are not that important when they did not let Penn State in after winning the Big Ten with two losses. Second of all, losing at Iowa and giving up 55 points is the worst loss that any of these good teams has on
their
resume.
Syracuse is pretty bad.
Yes, but it's a close game without your starting quarterback. I don't like the injuries.
Against a worse team.
Syracuse being worse than Iowa, that's at least a discussion.
No, that's a big spread on neutral field.
All right, so you take Ohio State then?
Over who?
Over two-loss Clemson?
Yes.
How about over conference champion USC? This is so ridiculous. This is actually making me angry.
So you think the loss to Iowa is disqualifying?
Completely disqualifying. I don't care what they do the rest of the way. I've also... The other thing with Ohio State...
No, I'd put a two-loss USC team in.
So would I. If USC wins the Pac-12, they're a better team than Ohio State. The other thing with Ohio State, we've seen it, man. They've had every opportunity, not just this year, the last 3 years. With this JT Barrett, Urban Meyer team, they got shut out 31-0 last year against Clemson. And it's over. This run is over, in my opinion, and I don't want to see it again.
Don't you think it's impressive that they've worked their way back into the conversation?
I think
only reason they can, and to Kloop's point, which you're going to agree on, is that they're Ohio State.
That's right. And that shouldn't be enough. That's the point.
Trojans in that situation.
And that's the other thing. So let's say it's Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and Oklahoma. We've then had five different teams in a four-team playoff in three seasons. That's ugly as far as... just from a viewership standpoint, imagine if the college basketball Final Four was the same four teams 3 years in a row.
Yes. Now you have your sample size with which to judge this committee, right?
In other words, and then you look at the committee and you say, okay, so basically no matter what happens, you're putting in Bam, you're putting in Ohio State, you're putting in Clemson. And it's just it would just be really disappointing, and I'd like to see something different.
Well, we want the Badgers to roll.
Well, no question. I'd like to see Wisconsin roll.
Kloop, I want to hear your Final Four.
As of right now?
No. Who do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be Alabama. I think it's going to be Miami. I think it's going to be Oklahoma. And I think it's going to be Wisconsin.
I think it's going to be Bama, Auburn, Oklahoma, and Miami.
How would Bama and Auburn get it? You think Auburn's going to win two
I think Auburn's going to run the table, yeah. I like Auburn at home against Bama in that spot.
Zach's saying war damn, Chris.
Alabama.
What is there to make me believe that I've seen this year that Bama's going to go beat Auburn on the road?
I just... The talent on the field...
But still, I mean, they just blew out Georgia.
I know. I mean, I think...
I mean, that's what I think it's going to be.
Kloop, let me get you on a feel-good topic for everyone, and that is... The University of Miami being back in the mix in college football.
How fun was that the other day?
It's as electric an atmosphere in college football right now, and deservedly so. Mark Richt, I mean, that guy is a leader of men, it appears to me.
Well, it's great, too, because Richt had this reputation, and one of the reasons he's fired from Georgia is because he had the reputation that he couldn't win the big game. Couldn't get by Saban in the SEC when it was... SEC East was down. That was as big of a game. The ratings were insane. Game day at Miami, like the game day scene was awesome, and then they just ran them out of the building. That was such a fun night. And college football is so much better when the U is good.
It's awesome. It's a defining night in the season in my mind.
And the turnover chain.
The turnover chain is crazy.
It doesn't get any better than that.
It's
very
good. It's awesome.
They got to be in there. I hope they're playing for a title.
I think they beat Clemson. I like them.
Yeah. And, Kloop, you had I don't want to get back to Ohio State, but you got a hot tweet on JT Barrett and just how perplexing a career he's had in college football.
It's insane because think about how many games he has won and think about what he is known for. He is basically known for two games, one inexplicable loss against Michigan State, Zeke Elliott's last year that they were there, and losing 31-0 to Clemson in the college football playoff. He also gets hurt, and then Cardell Jones comes in, runs the table, wins the title, so he doesn't get credit for that national championship run. So it's just a very unusual career, and I texted our buddy Len, huge Ohio State fan. I said, what is your take on the JT Barrett career? He just writes, get him out. Wow. Like, imagine having a quarterback with that much success and just saying, I'm done. I don't want him anymore.
It's just an exhaustion, right?
I just think people are tired of him, and it's just he's so familiar at this point. Yes, he can play well, but in a big game, in the biggest games, the games they've needed the most, he has not shown up.
Man, not a lot of fans in Columbus of In the Loop right now, Zach.
They never liked us.
Our Columbus audience has plummeted. Wasn't there a time, I think Dad said something negative about
Oklahoma
quarterback once, where there was...
They still don't like us there.
No, it was about them running up the score. 77-0 during the Stoops era.
It was Stoops era. Somebody, one of their guys was in the mix for the Heisman, and they
ran
it up.
Jason White.
Yeah, it's White or someone like that, and Dad said something negative, and the Amazon death threats were just... they were colorful.
Chris,
you know?
I also want your national champion pick.
It's a good question. I think Oklahoma.
Boomer Sooner.
Although they need to tighten things up on defense, but they have the best player. I mean, it reminds you, if you're going to look at especially what happened last year and the kind of teams the kind of teams that end up winning these things, it usually has to do with explosive offense and the best playmaker at quarterback.
I love watching that guy play.
Gun to your head, you're not taking Bama.
Shut up.
No, I'm not.
I'm not either.
You're not?
No.
You're just mad I phrased it that way?
No, I'm not. Gun to my head. Put it there.
And you're taking Oklahoma.
You're saying Bama?
The gun's there. You're taking Oklahoma. If they lose, you're dead.
So what if, like, Wisco
wins? We'll do that. We have to do that on video.
I'm saying if you get one team.
Boomer Sooner.
Life on...
yeah. Two. Boomer damn Sooner.
On Bama, one last thing on Bama, though. The thing that does benefit them, their issue right now is they're really, really banged up on defense. The month off between the end of their season and the college football playoff will give them a chance to get healthy. So that benefits that team. So it might be a different team than we saw against Mississippi State than we see at the end of the season.
Chris, I also think your point on Oklahoma is great, that this is the year where not having a Big 12 title would have benefited. Like, they'd be in.
It would be over. All they'd have to do is, I don't know, do they even have another
game? They play Kansas this week, and then I don't know, somebody bad.
It would be different because Bedlam would be now instead of a couple weeks ago, but yes, the Big 12 title is the only...
So who are they going to play, either TCU or OK State?
It's pretty much TCU unless they lose again.
They should win that game.
But I'm still saying the Big 12 championship, which is the big like problem that they've had...
Because usually they needed that to boost them in.
And now it can only hurt them.
Right.
All right, you guys ended on a little kumbaya note there.
I'm not...
No, you guys got a little testy. It's
but
fine.
You have to admit, as a more casual fan than I am, admittedly, yeah. That like, how much more would you rather see, if it's going to be 1 versus 4, let's say Bama's number one, how much more would you rather see Bama USC on New Year's Eve? Or...
Sam Darnold.
Or Bama Miami. Bama one loss Miami. As opposed to seeing Bama Ohio State, to me it just feels familiar. And I also think they would work them.
It does. I'd like to see SC sneak in, obviously. But we complain about the blue chip programs being in there. But you have to also imagine the alternative. And there is something special about those huge programs.
But
being in the Final Four.
Every program that we're talking about for the most part is a blue chip program. It's not like we're talking about UCF.
That's
or
true.
Or
Boise
here's
State.
My thing about here's my thing about SC. SC's ranked now number 12.
Ohio 11 State, in the playoff.
Oh, okay, 11. And what's Ohio State? 8?
Yes.
So how is USC's next wins, if Ohio State wins out, gonna propel them over Ohio State?
I think it's more a question of the overall body of work. It's not necessarily...
But isn't that what they're judging at this point?
In my opinion, if you look at the body of work for Ohio State, I just think that loss against Iowa is as bad of a loss as... And you can look at the Clemson loss at Syracuse. It's a bad loss, but they were in that game until the last possession. Ohio State got blown out by a team who could not score an offensive touchdown against Wisconsin last week. I'm done. That was it for me.
It's interesting that you think Wisco is going to be there. I like that.
Yeah, they went out, get in.
Yeah, the zero gets
Wisco
you in.
Is a nightmare for anyone who wants people to watch that.
Yeah, I do have my same concerns about Wisco Bama in the early game on New Year's Eve.
God, that is a brutal first semi.
Wisco's gonna.
I'm sorry. I won't hate missing that on New Year's Eve. Like, no, I won't.
But that'll be the game that you see because it's the matinee.
Chris and I will.
I'll be
what
watching.
What are you talking
that.
About? Where will I be?
Well, if you're sitting on a Wisconsin 40-1 ticket,
which I'm not,
which you're not,
outside looking in.
Yeah,
feels good.
So
thanks,
I mean,
boys.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Klub, you want to get a little NBA in here?
Yeah, let's do a little NBA before we do the locks. And
because
I know you guys both have social engagements tonight. I want to get you out of here.
I'd also like to say something about college basketball, just a little short thing.
Do you want
to
do that right now or
whenever
after?
You want?
Okay, I'll let you know. I'll tee you up.
You're the host.
I'll tee you up. Klub, how much fun have you had watching Porzingis to this point this season?
It's so fun.
He's incredible, man.
It's so fun because...
he's all of 7'3", Klub.
He's you look at him when he's next to other centers and you're like, oh, Joakim Noah, he's really tall. And then you're like, wow, he's 6 inches bigger.
Yes, and we're not saying anything new here, but the game has gotten so refined and good offensively. He's 22, he's 7'3", and it seems to be at a new level right now.
Look, there is such a dark cloud over this organization, the Melo years. I mean, I'll defend Melo because I think he's unfairly criticized sometimes. But to just see this young group get after it, really embrace playing in New York, and building around Porzingis, who there's not a more likable star in the game. And it's so much fun to actually feel like we have one of the guys who maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but in a few years... could be something to build around. It's really exciting.
I feel like he's pretty much there.
I don't even think that cloud's there anymore. I think it's gone.
Oh, I think
even
so too.
Even as an outsider looking in, as a Cavs fan.
I don't mean that he isn't there, Alex. I just mean that now it's time to build around it, but it's so hard to get the one guy to build around. It's
the
so,
one.
It,
yes, well, also,
so
the NBA
hard.
Is in a place where you're pretty much screwed no matter what.
It's so, but yeah, but for the, not indefinitely, but this is now for the Knicks, you can get excited about the future, and it's been a long
time. I mean, dude, if you
time.
Watch that Cavs game, the Garden was rocking.
And he wants it. That's the cool thing about Porzingis. He's embracing it.
Yeah,
like
he wanted LeBron. And
he loves playing in New York, and he embraces being the star of this team, which is really exciting to see.
And we're recording this on a day after Joel Embiid goes for... what, 46, 15, 7, 7?
And 7 blocks.
So
the first since I think Olajuwon. Maybe it goes
back historic
further.
Game. They got a kid in Philadelphia that might be better, Chris.
Well, as
the process is working.
Yeah, talk about you putting some cold water on my whole Knicks take.
Embiid is incredible.
But you're reminding me of the fact that even though I just said like, yeah, there's this great team in Golden State, but they're not going to be around forever. There's a team in Philadelphia that maybe
who is going to be around forever.
Who is going to be because forget Embiid, Simmons. Yeah. Is special.
God forbid they can ever figure out market faults.
No, that kid's done.
I don't think so.
Never play another game in
not
the league
true.
Again. He doesn't even know what his good hand is anymore.
He's got to take
How
a year off,
that?
Dude, like the Sixers do, and then you get good.
Did you see the video of him trying to shoot with his off hand? Like, what has happened to this poor young man?
I really don't like the videos of the people who are badly injured shooting a la Gordon Hayward from the wheelchair. What is practicing shooting from a wheelchair going to do for you?
Well, you don't want to get too rusty and then come back and have the pure shanks.
Yeah, but you shoot standing up when you're healthy. It's very different.
Hey, dude, I'm not going to argue with you regarding how you shoot.
Can I ask you something, Chris, about Porzingis that I've been thinking about? Phil's role, obviously, in drafting him and bringing him to New York.
Phil is a positive in the Knicks.
Like, Chris, when you look back and at Porzingis' career...
It's all Phil.
It's all Phil. Like... He deserves the credit, right?
Phil changed the dynamic of the Knicks for the next decade.
Are you guys high? Like, Phil tried to trade him 3 months ago.
No. That was a tease.
He picked him, Chris.
Okay, fine. He picked him. He also tried to trade him because he skipped an exit interview. Like,
or did he? Or was it all mind games?
Can you even imagine if Phil Jackson had traded Porzingis and then he's doing this like out in Phoenix? Knicks fans would be suicidal.
Yeah,
there would be. For drafting him.
No, there would be pitchforks out.
I still get angry when I see when I watch him play and I'm like, what was Phil thinking? Oh, like, yeah, we'll just replace him with, you know, somebody else, like Wilson Chandler.
But now you watch him play, Chris, and you think, and we had Will Hanley, our friend of the pod who plays in Europe professionally in Spain and now in Portugal, who had played against Porzingis, and months before the draft was saying, you guys don't get how good this kid is. And you think about watching him at when Hanley was, and the kid's 7'3", he can shoot, he can make every shot, he can block shots. It's like, yeah, of course he was going to be good.
For what it's worth, though, we did hear that about you hear that about almost one
That's
European
true.
Prospect
That's
every
true.
Year, and sometimes it doesn't pan out. The difference with Porzingis,
yeah, but when
is,
Hanley's saying it, it's
yeah,
legit.
Yeah, take
I agree,
it to the bank.
I agree with that. But the difference with Porzingis is he was also playing in Spain, which is different, which is like the second best league in the world. And he spoke fluent English. Like all I think the personality stuff is a lot of what separates him from other really talented European guys who have come over.
Yeah, he seems like he's got the head of a superstar.
And a really good support system. He's got
his
the brothers.
Are calling him the King of New York.
And the array of nicknames, Chris, from Unicorn on down. Is among the most impressive in all sports. And he deserves them.
That's true. I agree.
Celtics 13 in a row, Clue.
13 in a row.
And playing Golden State tonight, I believe, Irving v. Steph. So we don't know how that one turned out. But it is just... It's amazing.
Celtics
having,
won.
Come on, dude. I had a flow going. You interrupted me. God. Chris. Brad Stevens, having grown up with him and to watch him now at the height of his powers, it's pretty incredible to see what he does night in, night out with that team without a guy who's supposed to be their star.
The legend just continues to grow and grow. And the thing that's most impressive, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I've watched a ton of Celtics games, but they're playing the best defense of any team in the league. And that is incredibly unusual when you have a team as young as the Celtics do. So the buy-in, the culture that they have there, even Steve Kerr said this is the up and coming team to worry about. I'm not so sure that they're more up and coming than the Sixers are, but what they put together there, him and Ainge, look, it's working.
You know, there's a lot of talk about like how weighted the league is in the West, and that's valid. But the teams we just talked about in the East, Chris, there's some scary stuff happening brewing in the Eastern Conference with Porzingis and Embiid and the Celtics team.
And the Cavs.
In the future, you know?
I agree. You're right. It's a loaded, especially the young talent is more weighted in the Eastern Conference. So the Eastern Conference is
going to
have a
chance. Well, this is bound to happen eventually.
Oh, like, of course. It had to.
Like, the East has been gutter for so long. Like, yeah, if you're the Sixers, you get four top three picks.
That's a good point. All right. That's a good point.
I know.
Concerned at all about the Cavs, 8-7 as we sit here?
No. They're going to win the
East.
No concern. They're going to lose to the Warriors.
God, I hate how they sleepwalk in the regular season.
Yeah, dude. All that Knicks talk and LeBron still gave it to them.
He really enjoys playing in that building.
Wouldn't you?
No, I would.
Jordan did too.
He's loved it ever since he got in the
league. So did Jordan.
And he would never do the thing that he did on Instagram to another team.
No. Well, it was also because of the chirp during the game.
Yes.
Which
what
is
do you
great.
Make of the Cantor stuff?
It's great.
Chris? You like it?
I think it's great. Like, it adds a little, like, if you're a Knicks fan, I'm thinking this fact that we have this little rivalry with the Cavs is awesome.
I mean, Cantor has been in bigger beefs with Erdogan, Chris, in Turkey. He's not afraid of LeBron.
LeBron started the whole thing by saying that they should have drafted Dennis Smith Jr., which
that is just.
But that was a shot at Phil and not a shot at
Frank.
Yeah,
it's a ridiculous
shot. But how could you, but Zach, I understand that, but how could you possibly not take that as a slight if you're Frank Nicklitas?
Well, sure. Who cares? Why does LeBron care if he's slighted?
Well, LeBron slight, I mean, it's just, it's typical, like, subtext LeBron.
Yeah, it's all subtweet.
Yeah.
Sub.
And look, yeah, you beat
and
the
Knicks.
And
then Cantor
called
him the princess.
Yeah, the queen, the princess.
I'm not saying that Cantor is the king of trash talk. I'm just saying that LeBron started that. Obviously, like, Frank has to go into that game. You can't just back down in that situation, even as a rookie. I thought it was kind of weird, the whole thing.
Just wait till the last minute and bend the knee.
I mean, look, it's a big road win at Madison Square Garden.
The Cavs are going to be fine.
That was sarcasm from Clip.
To answer your original question, they got Isaiah Thomas coming back, one of the best players in the league. They're going to be all right.
It's true. Okay. All right. Locks?
What about my college basketball?
Oh, yeah, your thing, your comment.
Dude.
You were supposed to give him a sign.
No, I remembered, and I didn't care.
You were supposed to cough twice when you wanted the college basketball.
I don't
want to
know.
Duke, I love. Chris said that they've already been doing it, but it's going to be a long year for people that hate Duke and Grayson Allen.
Yeah, Grayson, Chris, with a big splash.
Coming off the year
season
where he tripped everybody, the hatred kind of started brewing at the end, and now this year everyone hates him. And the guy went off.
I'm not sure about your... I agree with you that everyone hates him and is going to hate him. Although
that I can get on board
although
with.
Although what I don't get is the timeline. Because it seemed to me, I think Grayson Allen has basically been hated ever since his sophomore year.
Yeah, but it's the
like
same thing with college
ago.
Players. It grows every year. When JJ was a senior, that's when it was at its worst.
It got pretty bad with Grayson last year in the tripping. He was
right.
He was very much in the national consciousness.
And then
as
he cried.
The next, yes.
It got suspended.
But now he's looking like the best player in the country.
And you are fully on board the Grayson
I
train.
I love it.
I love when you just get on board something.
This
is my guy. A lot of people hate this guy. I'm going to latch
everyone
on.
Everyone in my apartment's rooting against him. He's pouring in threes. And
yeah,
I'm just
not surprised you've taken
the
opposite.
The only reason people don't
approach.
Like him is because he looks like it. His face is so punchable.
He was tripping guys last year from behind. Out
dude,
of frustration,
yeah.
Like a sixth
you
grader.
You score 37 against Michigan State
Zach,
in the opener.
To act like there's that people hate him for no reason whatsoever is ridiculous. And Alex, like, I completely agree. Zach's texting me the other night, like, yeah, people hate Grayson Allen. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be
here
his
we go.
I'm like, this is his guy this year.
Here
is it
go.
Not your guy?
Someone call Cal and tell him you don't like the Cats
he's
anymore.
So, now that he's so much your guy, I don't know if he can be my guy.
Why not?
That's the thing.
Every time we touch thing,
no,
everyone hated
no,
it. I
you,
loved it.
You'll corner the market on a guy, too. You'll become so obsessed with a guy.
I'm not going to be
you'll
the
like
one.
Him
he's
so
gonna
much,
be the,
there's no room for anyone
he's going to be the most outstanding player. Get used to it.
I'm out.
All right, Locks, make him some money.
This is Lupica Locks.
I'm $1 million man with $1 billion plan. From Wall Street to Tokyo to Hollywood, all your big money is going to stay and play with me. That's right. That's why they call me the $1 million man.
Lupica Locks.
You better lock it up. You lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I have been a rich man and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every fucking time.
You think I'm joking? I'm not joking.
All right, Lupica Locks. I'm going to kick things off here with the John O'Malley lead pipe lock of the week. Clue. Got the Naval Academy. Getting 17.5 against Notre Dame, coming off the huge loss. Never bet against the armed forces. Lead pipe, Navy, Saturday.
I love that. I love that pick. Ohio State, like, how into it are they really going to be? And you got to be into it when you face Navy, because otherwise they...
Better be interested.
Otherwise, I tweeted actually over the weekend that these triple option teams remind me of, you know how infuriating it is to play someone in Madden who just keeps running the same play?
Oh, yeah. A little bubble screen?
That's playing against the triple option,
yes.
Literally.
Yep, that's in real life. You want to take it from here?
All right. I want to start off Michigan, Wisconsin over 38.5 in Madison. Windy day, but I just still think there will be. It's supposed to be windy and cold, maybe a little snow actually at a nooner there in Madison. But I do think there will be enough offense, maybe a defense special team score to get me over. 38.5 is a really low total for a college game. So that's what I'm going there. Zach, what do you got?
We're going back and forth.
Or should we? Do you want me to just keep going?
No, I can go.
All right, yeah, go ahead.
We also, this is from now on to the end of your competition, winner gets a prize from Alex. Okay, I'm going to take, I'll start in college football, Woo Pig, Arkansas, getting 11.5 at home against Mississippi State.
Does Bielma keep his job here after this season? I mean, I know how well liked he is.
I pray he does, but you know he'll land somewhere, so. For me personally, it doesn't really matter. I could use him in a different windbreaker.
Apparently, you know? they love him down in Arkansas. Just his attitude, him in the wind suit. He's enormous.
Yeah, he suits the program, doesn't he?
He's great at a barbecue.
Hey, oh, yeah. All right, Cloop.
All right, I'm going to go against the grain here a little bit, and I'm going to take Florida International at Florida Atlantic. Down in Lane's house, they've been rolling at Florida Atlantic. They're getting 14. I think they'll score enough to stay in that game. Maybe not win, but cover against old Lane.
The old FIU-FAU.
Butch Davis against Lane Kiffin. I mean, that's pretty incredible stuff.
Heck of a game. Luke?
Packers getting 2 home against the Ravens.
Enough said.
Money line, I'm assuming?
No, take the 2.
No, take the dose. Okay.
Yeah, the reverse money's coming on the Packers, just like last weekend against the Bears.
The Royal Flush Avenue is wide open, Cloop.
I'm going to go with Virginia at Miami catching 19. That's another nooner. I don't think The Rock is going to be kind of bumping like it was against Notre Dame. 2 straight night games there. It's hard for me to think that Miami can keep up the level of intensity and enthusiasm going through that place last 2 weeks. They'll win, but not by too many.
19, big point spread for a nooner, Zach.
Yeah, sure.
You're up.
My next pick is going to be the Fish, Cutler at home against the Bucks. Pick 'em.
The Sushi at home.
I always find myself with Cutler.
Ride with Jay. Clip.
The warm Sunday sushi at home in Miami.
Just nestle into Cutler's arms. All right.
I'm going to take a rivalry game, Cal plus 14.5 at Stanford. Again, rivalry game. Think they keep it close. But Stanford goes through Pac-12 title.
Luke's doing something on his phone, some sort of math.
No, there's I don't need the math. My next pick is going to be... I like the Cowboys catching 4.5 at home against the Eagles Sunday night.
Yeah, I like that too. I don't know about all this NFL you're doing.
NFL onslaught from Zach, but
it's a terrible college football slate.
This was an NFL light show from us, Cloop.
And lastly, I'm going to take John Gruden plus 180 to be the next coach of Tennessee. It's happening, folks.
And you've brought things full circle in a way that is just really nice for the podcast.
And I'll be taking my last pick 80-1 Packers in the Super Bowl. See you next week.
Hello. Have you seen Gruden's son, the strength coach of the Redskins, Deuce Gruden?
Zach has put his headphones down, Clue, but
well,
it's
done.
Just you and me now.
Have you seen Big Deuce? He's a world champion, like, deadlifter. The kid has biceps the size of your torso.
Clue, I'll Google it.
All right, well, we'll see Deuce Gruden chop at the end.
Deuce Gruden next week.